truth. Lies. Truth. False news. Truth. Deception. Truth. Pride. Truth. False humility. Truth. Natural life. Truth. Corruption. Truth. Idolatry. What is your truth? What is truth? Is your truth different than my truth? How do you obtain truth? Questions. Too many questions. Will these questions be answered? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, which gives life. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who gives life. Thank you that there is a time and a season for everything. Thank you for your truth. As you can tell from my introduction, you realize I'm going to talk about truth tonight. My plan is to do a series on truth and strongholds, because they really do go hand in hand. And this will force me to actually write a manuscript, maybe, on this, and maybe even publish it, as God has already given me the cover for the book. That'd be nice. But this is not a theological perspective. This is not one of these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teachings. This is what's on my heart. This is going to be a little different than what I normally would do tonight. The topic has been on my heart for 6 months. I've been concerned for the lack of truth, the deceit, the false news, especially in government, and it's very much vexed my spirit. And no, this is not going to be a political message tonight, although it may from time to time use that as an example. But this series is really about truth. Truth in our lives, truth in what strongholds are and how they affect our thinking, which ultimately keeps us from knowing the real truth. And I want us to really emphasize that word, real truth. It's not truth, it's real truth. And there's a difference. We are living in a time of great confusion. And you and I must know the truth in the middle of all of this. And so if you'll take a look with me, I haven't given Rick any of my scriptures. We're going to do them together. So if you want to look at Proverbs chapter 14 with me, this is the first place we're going to start tonight. And this is going to be done in two parts, what I want to do tonight. So just kind of bear with me. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. New Living Translation says, there's a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. So what we think truth actually is may ultimately not be truth. You can be deceived into believing a lie, and that deception could lead to death, spiritual and or possibly physical death. Now, there are many reasons why We don't hear the truth, know the truth, perceive the truth. And I'm not here tonight to go over all of those with you. I just want to touch one thing that the Lord has brought to my attention. God has a way of timing with me. And I was given this book a while ago. It's called Blessing Your Spirit by Sylvia Gunter and Arthur Burke. I'm going to read from this in a little while. This book has changed the way I pray for people, and it changes my whole prayer life. It's a book about prayers. But I want to share with you what they wrote in their introduction, which so applies to what I want to share with you tonight. They wrote this. When your spirit is controlled by the Holy Spirit and is dominant over your soul, your whole person is conformed to God's truth and his intent for you. The mission of Jesus was internal first, and his kingdom is now within us. Notice what that says. They said, the whole person is conformed to God's truth. They go on to say, however, for most of us, our soul dominates our spirit. Because we have fed our souls with a lifetime diet of the world, the flesh, passivity of spirit, and the devil. We have exercised our soul far more than our spirit. Take a look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. Very, very familiar passage. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, having the form of godliness but denying the power, and from such people turn away. Having the form of godliness without power. It is either a religious spirit or it is either a religious spirit or you are walking in the spiritual realm. You can either have a religious spirit or you can really be working with the power of God. In Revelations, what did Paul write to the church at Sardis? You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Our spirit has no chance to implement the will of God in our personal lives because the soul has been overfed far too long. If you look at in Proverbs 25:28, go and look at there with me. Proverbs 25:28. Whomever has no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Whomever has no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down without walls. A person controlled by his soul will not have proper identity. A person controlled by his soul will not have solid boundaries that will keep them protected. You must work at making your spirit dominate over your soul and body.
Yes.
Shut off the bombardment of the world. Speak to your spirit. Ask God to bring into your life a massive amount of challenges, nurturing, and direction for your spirit.
Yes.
In Galatians, Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit. And I think it's interesting that the last one is self-control. And I throw the question out tonight, is it possible that it's last because you have to acquire the first eight first before you can have the last one? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and all the rest. That has to be a part of you before you can actually have self-control. Is that why it's last? I'll let you answer the question. I'll just throw it out. Let you think about it. And I bet if you were to ask a counselor, they would say this whole idea of your soul dominating your life is very common. Now, Lisa, you do that, and I'm sure the majority of people, right? Of course. It's just how life is. It's just people that need counseling. This is where they get, this is their problem. George Barna, in his research, said that a majority of Christians believe that truth is relative. We are watching Christian morality being ushered out of our social structure. George Orwell had a great quote, and he said, when truth and or morality is no longer in vogue, when truth is not in society, those that preach the truth get persecuted.
Yes, that's right.
I would like to take a moment and read one passage from this book. This book has, actually, it's 61 days of prayers. 40 prayers of different things that you can pray, different topics like life-giving leadership and solving problems, and you pray for people. And there's 21 days of praying the name of God. Now, I'm going to pray today's prayer. It's a page and a half. It won't take me very long. And I'd like to use your name, because there's a blank spot in here where you put the person's name in. And today we prayed for Jehovah Rophe. I want you to listen to this. So I'm going to put Lisa's name in every place there's a blank. Lisa, I call your spirit to attention in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That's amazing. Listen to the word of God for you. He says, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your God who heals. Exodus 15. The context of the name Jehovah Rophe is not about healing the sick, but about staying healthy by following the principles that God gave Israel. This preventative health through getting clean and staying clean. Lisa, you are the product of a generational blessings and curses which you inherited from your parents. You were born with a gold mine and a toxic waste dump. Ideally, your parents would have cleaned up their physical toxicity, emotional woundedness, and spiritual baggage before having children, but they did not know to do so. Even if they had done so, the job would never have been perfectly done. They unfortunately passed on some negatives to you. The good news is that your father is not limited by the imperfections of your parents. Since it is your father's desire that you be made whole in the spirit, soul, and body, I bless you, Lisa, with blessing of a covenant named Jehovah Rapha, your healer. I bless you with cleansing you in your spirit from defilement of past generations and from your own wrong choices. I bless you with God sanctifying your spirit to such a degree that you hunger and thirst for the will and the word of God in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Your Father is the healer of broken hearts, so I bless you with healing from brokenheartedness. I bless you with a spirit that is healthy, alive, and alert through his healing presence. I bless you with cleansing in your soul from every generational soul wound and stronghold of lies. I bless you with the cleansing blood of Jesus for negative words spoken to you, about you, or against you. I bless you with the washing away of defilements of mind, will, and emotion. I release you to love and be loved, to enjoy life and to enjoy your Father, and to be enjoyed by him. to have peace with yourself and others and with God. And I bless you with freedom to hear from God, to respond to him, and to be used by him as a restorer, healer, and counselor in your lifetime. Last paragraph. I bless you, Lisa, with cleansing of your physical body from susceptibility to diseases in the world. I bless you with your Father's cleansing of your blood, since the life is in the blood. I bless you with health and wholeness in your autoimmune system, which is anchored in the bloodstream. I bless you with health in every organ and system and cell of your body. I bless you in the name of Jehovah Rapha. Amen.
I receive that.
Amen. But this book has just so changed. But it addresses the spirit. It says, I call your spirit to attention. Name of the title is called Blessing Your Spirit, Sylvia Gunter, G-U-N-T-E-R, and Arthur Burke, B-U-R-K. Okay. Let me change gears for a minute if I could. The Bible, which is the basis for all real truth, has a cartload of scriptures on truth. And if you really study them, you come up with some very interesting pieces of wisdom and revelation. Now, if I were to ask you to give me a scripture with the word truth in it, you know, we all might have little different answers, but I have a feeling that most of us, or at least a good portion of us, there's one I think we would all quote. Know the truth, and it will set you free. John 8:32. That's a pretty common one. And Jesus said, there's a link between truth and freedom. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. To my way of thinking, let me take one line here. The word know in that scripture, the Greek word know, means birth. Birth. To my way of thinking, it implies intimacy, which, when applied, I believe, to the spiritual realm, means knowing the truth in your heart, not in your mind. Take a look at Psalm 51, if you will, please. David's Psalm of Repentance. And if you'll look with me, I hope we have the right scripture here. Yep. Verse 6. David writes, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. There's the word truth again. So if the truth is to set you free, you must diligently pursue truth and not make it a casual endeavor.
Yes.
Can't do that. Now, when anyone pursues anything, there are risks. It is said that experience is the good or perhaps the best teacher. We all know the story of Edison and how many times he failed before he made the light bulb. I want to talk to you for a minute about risks, and I'm going to kind of take a little diversion. I think it's true in what I want to say tonight. But for the last couple of years, I've been partnering with Voice for the Martyrs. I don't know if any of you know of the organization. And I get the calendar. I don't know if any of you have seen the calendar. And every year they send me a calendar, and they give me somebody somewhere around the world to pray for, or a country, or what's going on. And every month they have a picture and all this. And I wanted to point a couple things out to us tonight. This is February. This is taken in rural Vietnam. Lines of young adults, girls on one side, boys on another, waiting to be baptized. And in the picture, it says, young adults in rural Vietnam awaiting their turn to be baptized in a local river and publicly proclaim that they belong to Christ. Knowing, hear this carefully, knowing that their decision will likely result in persecution, including possible eviction from their homes and pressure to reject Jesus. Yet they eagerly await to hear the precious words, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That just gets me. These young adults have put their life on the line for Christ. They're willing to walk in the truth regardless of the cost. Well, this month, for example, April 4th, pray for the widows in Nigeria in a certain town whose husbands were killed. Syria, this week, Thursday, pray for the families of kidnapped or missing Christians that they will remain hopeful. Yesterday in Somalia, pray for families of the Somali believers who have been killed for their faith. Puts a whole different slant on my Christianity when I do this every day. Changes my whole life. So when I really talk about truth, we have to realize that sometimes things aren't always the way they appear. I'll give you a couple of examples. I had to get my furnace repaired a couple weeks ago. We'd go on for 5 minutes and shut off and call up a guy, came over. Had a fixed part, which is okay. Fortunately, it wasn't too cold outside. But I said, the thing has been running really loud. Looks like it's going to take off. And he was downstairs looking at the furnace, and he said, it's not a problem with the furnace. It's a problem with your furnace filter. You know, I got one of these big furnace filters that cleans off all the air. And he said, the problem is, what's happening is that you're restricting the airflow because it's so thick to take the air out, that the furnace is designed that if there's not enough airflow, what does it do? It goes faster. He said, put a cheap one in. He goes out, he has to get the part, gets a cheap one, puts it in. Can't hear the furnace anymore. Who knew? Let me give you another example. You and your sister invite somebody over for dinner. Person comes in. You are feverishly working in the kitchen, and your sister is in there talking to the friend. And you get mad and say, why aren't you out here helping me? That sound familiar? That's what happened with Mary and Martha. And yet, Jesus said she's chosen the better part. See, if we put Christ first, everything else comes into order.
That's right.
You know, therefore, we have to be careful. Things can be deceiving. Now, truth is a topic we all know about. We all think we have the truth. We said earlier in Proverbs, there's a way that appears right, but yet in the end leads to death. So how do you appropriate truth? There is a word that I realized as I was pondering all of this that's connected to truth. It's a very interesting word, one I would not have thought about if I had not gone in this direction. But the word is alignment. I didn't think about that till just this week. We're all aligned with many things. Godly, real truth or not. And you didn't know, but here's my political example, you know, especially with what we prayed tonight, you know. There are those who vote for abortion and infanticide, and they're aligned with the concept of a woman's free right to choose. And then they have the perception to say, well, we're doing the work of God because that's what's been said. These people are aligned that way. In our lives, we have aligned our thoughts in many areas. I think it's possible that for some of us, including myself, we can have some of our thoughts aligned properly and some of them not aligned properly. A chiropractor will tell you that your body is out of alignment, and to be pain-free, notice the word free, you have to be aligned properly. So the same is true in the spirit. There's a way to get aligned. Take a look at Romans 12:1. Now, there's a lot of ways. I'm just picking one scripture here. And this is a very familiar scripture. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Truth. Transform your mind. Transform your thinking. And what causes our perceptions, our thinking, to be off? I would say most are due to our past or our decisions. Not all. So our past, our decisions, and their consequences can feed your soul instead of your spirit. So we need to realize that the strongholds in our thinking prevent us from knowing the truth and ultimately being free. And then you have the devil that comes in to confuse and deceive you so that the word of God is not clear. When salvation comes into our lives, truth comes into our life. Jesus is the truth of God. But with salvation, we also learn the truth about ourselves, which is eye-opening to say the least. You know, we can't always see ourselves. We don't really get to see it. You know, we're blind. But we can see other people. And we can see other people's problems. And we have solutions for other people's problems. Right? Because I know the truth. And so we want to go and tell that person, I have the answer for you. I'll give you an example. Now I'm going to pass. I'll wait for this one. Here's the problem. Truth without compassion, truth without love, truth without humility is harsh. To give someone the truth, you need to be in a relationship with someone that you trust. I'll give you an example. There are four of us that have gotten together for years, probably every 4 to 6 weeks. We pray, we share, we talk. We do it about every 4 to 6 weeks. And one day, a couple years ago, I was talking about my family, and I think my greatest prayer request has been that my whole family would walk with God in a vibrant relationship and that I would leave a spiritual legacy for my family. So we were talking about this, and one of the people that was there said, stop. I said, what do you mean stop? He said, stop. He said, I want you to stop being pastor and start being dad. I had to think about that. I went home and I said, God, how do I do that? Because I felt like they were all intertwined. I'm a pastor and I'm a dad, but how do I separate all that? Well, God gave me an opportunity. A little while later, one night Barb was out, and one of the grandkids had a late afternoon concert or something at school, and I went. And Barbara's, like I said, Barbara's busy. She wasn't there that night. And after this thing was over, my daughter said, well, we're going to go out for dinner. Do you want to join us? And the Lord reminded me, are you going to be pastor and go home? Or are you going to be dad and go out to dinner? So I went out to dinner. But I didn't make a choice. I think what I believe is happening is God is getting us ready for the next season.
That's right.
And I guess I feel like part of what I'm going to share in this series is to do that. And as I bring my message to a close, I know Lisa is probably over there thinking, when's he going to give me the 1812 definition of truth? And struggles. And I've learned a lot about how important definitions are from her. But I purposely left them out tonight. Sorry. Because, thank you, I appreciate that. Because my message tonight was just an introduction. And as I realized, talking about truth and strongholds tonight, it was like trying to grab oil. Because it's a hard thing to get a hold of. There's so many scriptures and so many thoughts, and you can go this way. You know, it's very difficult to try to really nail this all down. But I hope tonight I will whet your appetite.
Yes.
I hope you begin to think about truth. And of course, being a teacher, here's your homework. As you read scripture, as you listen to the Holy Spirit, as you talk with other people, ask God to show you and make you aware of truth. And he will open your eyes to the truth and strongholds.